Foundations Lesson Number 20, God and the Trinity, Part 4. Roman numeral number 4 on our outline takes a careful look at the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes I introduce this section to my students by asking them a bit of a trick question, which is this. True or false? Jesus Christ, when he lived on earth, was half man and half God. What do you think? True or false? The answer is false. He wasn't half man and half God. He was fully human and fully God. When I first came to the Lord, there was a fellow college student who said that we could see Jesus' divine nature when he performed miracles and healed people. Okay, true enough. But then she also said that we could see his human side when he made a whip out of cords and drove all the animals out of the temple. If Jesus had been half man and half God, her position would have been reasonable, but it was, in fact, quite incorrect. Everything Jesus said and did, everything, he did as fully God with all the limitations of a fully human body. When he lived on earth, there was never a moment when he wasn't 100% God, and there was never a moment when he wasn't 100% human. With that in mind, let's first examine the full deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've already seen that Scripture clearly identifies Jesus as God. I won't reread those verses on our outline. If you'd like to, feel free to pause this recording and look them up. But besides being declared to be God in Scripture, he also showed us he was God by what he said and did. For example, he received and accepted worship. Only God does that. Matthew 14:33. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Matthew 28:17. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Hebrews 1:6. Again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." I imagine if someone tried to worship you, you'd feel very uncomfortable and you'd try to stop them from doing that. Why? Because you know you're not God. You know that it's not fitting or appropriate for you to receive that level of honor. Only God is worthy of receiving worship. Peter felt the same way, Acts 10:25-26. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." Not only do humans, at least humans in their right mind, feel unworthy to be worshipped, angels likewise refuse to be worshipped. Revelation 19:10, the Apostle John writes, "At this I fell at his," that is the angel's, "feet to worship him. But he said to me, 'Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God.'" Revelation 22:8-9, "I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, 'Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers the prophets and of all who keep the words of this book. Worship God.'" So whereas both angels and humans, at least sensible humans, stop people from worshiping them, Jesus felt quite comfortable receiving and accepting worship. He seemed to feel that it was appropriate. Only God would do that. On one occasion, Jesus said, "Can any of you prove me guilty of sin?" to those who were challenging him. No one presented any evidence. Jesus' sinless life is another evidence of his deity. Anyone who lives a sinless life cannot be just a human being. That's because all of us mere humans have a sin nature. Hebrews 4:15. "For we do not have a high priest," Jesus, "who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin." 1 Peter 2:21-22. "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth." 1 John 3:5. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Scripture also reveals that Jesus existed before he was born. Again, that stunt would be impossible for a mere human to pull off. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. As was noted earlier, the Word here in context clearly refers to Jesus Christ. He was there in the beginning. John 8:56-59, Jesus speaking, Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You are not yet 50 years old, the Jews said to him, and you have seen Abraham? I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. Jesus also forgave people their sins, Luke 5:20-21. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, Friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Luke 7:48. Then Jesus said to her, the woman who poured perfume on his feet, Your sins are forgiven. C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, had some powerful things to say about Jesus' forgiving people their sins as an evidence of his being God. I won't read Lewis's quote now because it's lengthy, but if you want to read it, it's included in the Scriptures and Quotes document, which is available in the Additional Resources section of this webpage. Suffice it to say, the Pharisees and teachers of the law were correct in thinking that only God can legitimately forgive sins. Jesus also demonstrated his divinity by performing miracles. John 20:30-31. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Acts 2:22, Peter preaching. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. So to summarize, we can see that Jesus Christ was fully God, not just because the Bible declares it to be so, but also because he accepted worship, he lived a sinless life, existed before his physical birth, forgave people their sins, and performed healings and miracles. So now, let's turn to his full humanity. 1 John 4:2-3. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. Romans 1:3. Regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David. John 1:14. The Word, Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Three of the gospel writers record an account of Jesus returning to Nazareth, where he'd lived in his childhood. The people there seemed to have no trouble at all believing he was fully human. After all, he grew up with some of their children. They knew who he was. But difficulty arose at their accepting him as anything more than just one of them. Luke even records that they tried to kill him. The Bible also shows us that Jesus developed as other humans do. Luke 2:40, and the child, Jesus, grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom and the grace of God was upon him. Luke 2:52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Scripture also describes some of Jesus' human needs. Matthew 4:2 mentions hunger. It reads, After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. John 19:28 mentions thirst. It says, later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. Mark 4:37-38 mentions sleep. Apparently, at least on this occasion, Jesus was quite a heavy sleeper. It says, a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? John 4:6 mentions weariness. It says, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. To summarize the full deity and the full humanity of Jesus, I'd like to turn to Philippians 2:5 through 11, which reads, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This passage tells us that Jesus was in very nature God, but found in appearance as a man. The original Greek word translated nature is morphe, which means a person's inmost nature, essence, the thing itself. The word translated appearance is schema, which means an outward expression that does not come from within, scheme. So if you attended a Valentine's Day banquet and they served Jell-O for dessert, either in dessert cups or in individual heart-shaped molds or in the shape of a full plate-sized wreath from which you could serve yourself with a spoon, then the nature of all three selections would be the same. They would all be made of Jell-O, but the appearance would be different. Similarly, Jesus had the inmost nature of God, yet he also had the outward appearance of being human, and those who knew him best never questioned his humanity. I invite you to look up and read the remaining verses on the outline. There you'll discover the doctrine of the virgin birth, the reality that his mother Mary was a virgin when she gave birth to Jesus because he had no human father biologically. I imagine Joseph did a fine job of parenting Jesus, but God was Jesus' father, and it was the Holy Spirit who impregnated Mary. So, on the closing diagram, we see that Jesus' father was God, and that his mother, from whom he got his humanity, was Mary. This means that Jesus was God in human flesh, fully God and fully man, Son of God and Son of Man. Before closing this lesson, I want to say that I've deeply appreciated your trust in listening to these lessons. It has been an honor to serve you. I pray that you'll continue to grow strong in the Lord, becoming more and more Christ-like. Amen. God bless all of you.